don't miss the food trucks at Pine Tops Feedlot this Saturday from 11 to 7 next to Domino's on North Main Street.
Protect yourself from identity theft. Join AARP for a free shred event on Saturday, May 31st. Bring your old documents and shred them safely on site. We'll be at Sheridan Commercial Parking Lot from 8:30 to 11 and DJ's Parking Lot in Buffalo from 2 to 4 p.m. Protect your personal information and fight fraud the safe and easy way. To learn more, visit aarp.org/wyevents or call 1-877-926-8300.
It's time again for Burgers on the Grill this Friday at Farmers Co-op. Brat burgers, that is, along with jalapeno brats and Philly cheesesteak brats. They'll be cooking them up in front of the store this Friday from 11 to 1. Stop by for a brat burger or a brat and a 20-ounce soda for just $6.50. They must have been in the sun a little too long. A brat burger and a 20-ounce drink for just $6.50 this Friday from 11 to 1 at Farmers Co-op, 1450 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, May 29th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Ludekaus and County Airport Manager Robert Gill. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, Robert, this is your first appearance on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I haven't really actively been trying to get you on here because every time I've got the commissioners on, they're always telling me how busy you are up there. You guys have been pretty active up there at the airport for the past couple of years.
Yep. Yeah, the airport is definitely a busy place right now.
Now, when it comes to how long have you been up there?
In total, I've been at the airport for about 21 years.
Wow. With
the county, a little over 14 years, and the rest of my time was spent working at Bighorn Airways, the airport's FBO.
Wow. So what really took you up there? What was your first position? What were your duties?
I was hired on as a part-time temp, fueling aircraft going to college, loved the airport, and it's kept me there ever since.
Were you a kid that really liked airplanes or anything like that, or was it something else that kind of?
Yes, growing up, I've always loved aviation and aircraft, and just starting in working at the airport, I became interested in becoming a pilot and got my pilot's license, I just love aviation.
What do you fly?
I've only got time in a Cessna 172.
Cessna, the single prop?
Yep, yeah, single engine, high-wing aircraft.
Yeah. There was a time in my life, believe it or not, I wanted to get myself a single prop engine, head down to an American Samoa, and just live on the beach. That was going to be the game plan. It's like some made-for-TV movie or something. Now, what are your duties up at the airport now as a manager?
A little bit of everything. Finance and administration, overseeing airport operations, public relations, you name it. It's a little bit of everything.
When you got this position, was it kind of one of those things where you knew it was coming, or was it a bit of a surprise?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't sure. I had a lot of experience up at the airport. I've dove into a little bit of everything. We had a longtime airport manager. He had been there for 46 years and knew he was retiring, and it was a goal I had to step in.
So those roles that you filled over the years, you started as a fueler. Was
correct.
There anything else that you did between that? And
Yeah, I did fueling working at Bighorn Airways and became their line service manager. Eventually decided to make the transition over to Sheridan County. Just started doing airfield maintenance and then transitioned on. We do aircraft fire rescue up there, so I've got some fire certifications while working there. Then became the airport's training coordinator. So then I started instructing on some various duties up there. Became the operations supervisor, and that's when I really started to focus on applying for that airport manager's positions once it became available.
How many airport traffic or air traffic controllers do we have up there?
No air traffic controllers. Okay. We're what's called an uncontrolled airport, so we operate off a CTAF, a common traffic advisory frequency. So everybody's just kind of announcing who they are and where they're at and what they're doing.
Do you ever get in those situations where you got more than one coming in and you got to say you first, second?
Well, usually they coordinate that between themselves. But yeah, there can be times where there's four or five aircraft in in the pattern. We've got a busy flight school up there, so there's a lot of instructors and students doing what's called touch and goes, takeoffs and landings, and just with the other general aviation coming in and out, it can get busy at times.
I sat back at a fort and watched C-130s do touch and goes, and that was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Man, those things are not flying buses. Those are flying big rig trucks is what those are, and it's amazing to watch them just hit and bounce right back up. Yeah. So I really did kind of like aviation growing up, but I never flew until I was 21 years old. And since that time, I've skydived. So got bit by the bug a little bit, but how nerve-wracking can it be up there in the air?
It's an incredible adrenaline rush. I think most every pilot will tell you when you do that first solo flight, it's a day you'll never forget. I think I roughly had about 10 hours with an instructor and went up for my first solo flight. And the whole time it felt like somebody was just pounding me on my chest. My heart was just going to beat right through. And it was a great adrenaline rush.
I haven't had the opportunity to really talk to a pilot before, so you're going to have to forgive these little questions I throw out at you. But a lot of people, especially in media, they talk about how flying isn't really that difficult. It's the landing that always gets you.
Well, of course, landing and takeoffs, those are your critical times, and then just knowing what to do in emergency situations.
Now, how busy is our airport if we were to kind of, and it's tough to compare. What do we even compare our airport to when it comes to, are we busier than X or?
We have a fair amount of general aviation traffic, all the traffic outside of commercial traffic, anywhere from the flight school to ag operations, firefighting operations. General aviation wise, we're pretty busy for a community our size. Commercial traffic, there's 9 commercial airports in the state of Wyoming, and we're kind of there in the middle. Our commercial traffic has picked up quite a bit. 2019, we were right around a total of 16,000 flying passengers. This last year, 58,000 flying passengers. So we've seen a pretty good jump when we've made the change from SkyWest to United, or from Denver Air Connection to SkyWest and United. So we've picked up quite a bit with commercial traffic as well.
What would you say is the primary reason for that? Is it just the accessibility of it that really increased those passenger counts, or do we actually just have a different clientele kind of moving into the county?
I would say that could be a factor for sure. But with SkyWest and United, there's the name recognition, the connectivity, a lot of conveniences there flying with United.
Now, I said you've been pretty busy up there, and it's not just the flights, it's the remodels and that you've had kind of going on for the past couple of years. Are there any still ongoing?
Not specifically remodels. We usually have at least one capital improvement project going on every year. Our next big project coming up is on the airfield. It's a taxiway project. But with what we've done with the terminal building, we're about capped out. That building's originally from the 1940s, and it's been added on 8 times. And there's just not a whole lot left we can do with it.
Yeah. Now, what's the newest feature up there at the airport? If someone hasn't been up there in, say, 3 years.
As far as the terminal building?
Yeah.
Our last project here 2 years ago, we added on additional area for passenger screening for TSA. And we made our hold room larger to accommodate for larger aircraft. So made a little bit more space in there. And then for this included a baggage screening area for TSA for some of their equipment. So it's kind of focused more on the screening side of things.
Yeah. And with the increased passenger count, I imagine that was kind of the priority.
Yes. Yeah. And so this will, it helped us accommodate larger aircraft, moving up to 50 passenger aircraft, and then should have a squared away for up to 75 passenger aircraft.
Oh, wow. So is that the biggest we can take there at the airport? If you had an emergency situation and someone had to land, what's the biggest you could take?
As far as landing at the airport, we have what's it's called a payment condition rating model. And we're kind of able to look at that and evaluate based on aircraft size and tire configurations what we can accept. But we can definitely take in larger aircraft there. We can have C-130s. You mentioned those. We can have those flying. It would just be a matter of kind of looking and seeing, like, are we doing damage to the pavement if we allow, you know, continual landings like this? Or is a one-time deal? And we're able to assess that way.
A lot of people, you know, going back to what I know, which is all from TV and movies, it's the length of the runway. So you're saying actually there's a lot more to that, and pavement is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, we've got plenty of length up there. It's just a matter of the pavement strength, and we call out for a certain amount where aircraft can come in. Beyond that, they need a waiver, and we can kind of make that assessment of, you know, would this cause damage if we allowed it, or if it's a continual landings, if there would be damage to the pavement.
What did the airport look like during the fires? Were you taking and refueling a lot of choppers and planes and things like that?
The airport was very busy then. We ended up with a total of about 12 aircraft based on the airport. A good majority of them were helicopters. So we kind of turned into a helibase then at that time. We did have a couple other aircraft that were based there for mapping of the fire. They would fly the fire every morning and night, being able to provide mapping. And then various uses of the helicopters. We had 6 Type 1 helicopters, which are the large ones for dumping water or retardant on the fire. And then a couple other utility helicopters, whether they were flying passengers for certain areas on the fire, or cargo, or whatever it may be.
I see it. Some good sized birds up there.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty busy.
Man, I wish I should have gone up there and taken a look at them when they were all out there. Now, what if you were to tell me that there were certain challenges that the airport faces on a regular basis? What would you say those were?
Working through some of the growth that we have, you know, parking's definitely a challenge. With the jump we've taken in commercial passengers, parking is a major challenge. The economics of the aircraft we have, it's tough in the regional market right now. The aircraft's, it's a little pricey, and it's full, which is a good thing because of the cost, but it's tough for the traveling public at times. I think passengers need to keep that in mind when they're looking at using their airlines. Booking out as far in advance as they can be helpful, because the aircraft are filling up.
Wow.
Those would be the major challenges for sure.
Now, the airport is technically owned by the public, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's owned by Sheridan County.
And is that a regular thing?
Yeah, there's quite a few different models. There are any more federally owned airports in the country. It comes down to various municipalities and how they're owned, whether it be county, city, joint powers. You even see that throughout Wyoming. There's kind of a mixture there.
Is an airport intended to turn a profit?
I think that that is a definite goal for an airport to be profitable. We have a federal obligation to try to be profitable since we do receive federal support. That's one of their obligations is that we need to be running the airport in a way that we're trying to be profitable.
Mm-hmm. Are we, or are we constantly kind of putting our money back into our airport to give improvements?
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. The budget I submitted this year for consideration, asking for about $298,000 of general funds there, and we do also receive optional 1 cent sales funds as well.
And a lot of that money just goes to operations itself.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
Capital improvement projects. Where do those? Where does that funding come from?
So we're in what's a part of what's called the AIP improvement project, and so the philosophy there is users of aviation pay for aviation. So there's a tax associated with ticket sales, fuel tax on aircraft, cargo tax, and it all goes to what's called an airway trust fund. This trust fund, then those funds get appropriated to the FAA by Congress and then goes back out to the airports to support these capital projects. So it's a combination there of aviation funds being drawn from and going back to airports for capital improvement.
So if you use it, you're paying for it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And those of us who stay kind of planted on the ground, we don't. All right. Now, Jesse, how does emergency management take advantage of or utilize the airport often?
So when we have a major incidents that take place, like the disasters that you were referring to, the fires and things like that, we have to coordinate with the airport to ensure that we have the availability to bring in these kind of aircraft. The military also uses the airport on a regular basis. So, you know, if the National Guard gets deployed or other military services get sent out here, they use it for training. So they'll come in for that. But if they have an incident that they need to respond to, they'll contact us and try to get space on at the airport as they can. And then just when we have exercises or trainings and things like that, we'll utilize the airport for some of that stuff.
Yeah, Blackhawks. I didn't think about that because we've got a Blackhawk unit here in our state. We also have our own Air Force. So I imagine when it comes to the state basically saying, hey, we need some space, are they kind of moved up to a priority list?
I would say most of the military helicopters that we see come through are typically for fuel stops. Other than that, they don't typically station at the airport.
Yeah. They're based out of Cheyenne primarily. And they got a good size airport down there with the Air Force.
And then I think are we hosting any aircraft for firefighting this summer?
That usually just comes up as needed, but it's very common to see firefighting aircraft on the airport most every summer. I would say in the last 5 or 6 years. Wow. We've had pretty good chunks of time. And of course, this last year, especially, I think we had firefighting aircraft stationed on the airport from May all the way through November.
Wow. So, and they just kind of base themselves out of our airport and take care of the surrounding area, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. At times they're on standby. And of course, the way last year was between all the various fires throughout the region, but they were also operating too. But yeah, they can end up on standby as well.
Busy place up there. All right, we're going to discuss a very large-scale exercise that's going to be taking place up at the Sheridan County Airport right after this. Stick with us. This is information you are going to want to know, and you're going to want to tell your friends because there's going to be some activity happening around town. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best.
And this is Colton Bates. It's one thing to put your home on the market during the best time of the year this spring, but our team wants you to have a full-scale launch onto the market.
That's right, Colton. We believe in every single detail mattering when it comes to staging, presentation, and targeted marketing for an all-out best effort in getting your home sold.
If you want to see the service you're paying for, keep a constant line of communication, and relieve yourself of any work and stress, work with the best.
Use the spring season for all it's worth and choose the best for all your real estate needs.
Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net today.
I'm Zach Rogers, owner of 307 Wildcat Well Services. Running a business and being out in the field drilling wells doesn't leave me much time for marketing. That's where Sheridan Media came in. They built my website, handled my radio, print, and digital advertising, and turned it into a powerful marketing engine, all while I was out doing what I do best. Their work has helped me bring in multiple new customers. If you're not my competition, I highly recommend letting Sheridan Media help you find your next customer while you focus on running your business.
It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Hop Eyes on SheridanMedia.com. Right now, you can head over there and find deals for up to 50% off of retail value. This week, we have dining gift certificates, service gift certificates, merchandising gift certificates, and a bunch more. You can find whatever it is you're looking for, all from local Sheridan retailers, and they all start at half off of retail value. Head over right now to SheridanMedia.com and click on the Hop Eyes button and place your bids. Hurry, though, bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Sheridan County Emergency Management Coordinator, Jesse Ludekaus, and County Airport Manager, Robert Gill. Large-scale mass casualty exercise tests our EMTs, our firefighters, our law enforcement, our hospital, and other much-needed emergency services. We're looking at routes, we're looking at times, we're looking at response times, folks. Jesse, how often are these mass casualty exercises required by standard?
So the airport's required to do a full scale once every 3 years based on the size of our airport. Some larger airports like Denver, they have to do them yearly. And so we do different types of trainings. Sometimes we do tabletops on those off years, which means that we just come into a room and discuss scenarios. But this one's a full scale, meaning we're doing it live with lots and lots of actors and people.
It's incredible. I mean, what does it take to coordinate something this large?
So it takes me about 9 months or so to write the exercise. We have to have multiple planning meetings with all of the key stakeholders, the leadership, to really develop the exercise, make sure that there's no issues or concerns, and just make sure it's coordinated correctly. We have lots of injects, for example, during the exercise where we'll add things during for the scenario. We want to set our goals and objectives, because that's the point of the exercise. Is we have a plan that we're trying to test, and we have to have objectives to be able to test against and then evaluate. So those all have to be planned in advance and then written out.
Now, is this conducted? I mean, you're the one who sets all this up, but once the actual evaluations really start to go down, are you the one kind of walking around with the clipboard, or is this conducted by a third party?
No, I do with the planning team, so not just me, all the leadership, including the airport and the fire department and police department. We all sit down together, and during the actual exercise, because I'm not a first responder, we will bring in, for example, if we're evaluating maybe an objective related to the airport, we'll bring in other airport managers from Wyoming, or we can bring in, you know, if we're testing a fire objective, then we'll bring in maybe a fire chief from another area to come in and evaluate the fire department and how well they did their objectives. So we bring in evaluators from around the state based on their professional expertise to evaluate those key objectives.
How long is do these generally take once we actually kind of hit that stopwatch and say go?
The exercises usually last, well, at least this one's planned for up to 2 hours.
Okay, so it's not an all-day thing, but I guess in a way it is kind of an all-day thing. It'll be the entire day.
Correct, yeah. We'll start at 7 o'clock in the morning with prep, and then the event will last for 2 hours, and then afterwards we'll do a post-evaluation on everything.
Now, when it comes to kind of like a real-world setting for these, our responders, of course, know this is going to happen. They're, you know, got their foot on that block at the starting line, ready to rock and roll. So the interjections are your way of saying, okay, you didn't know this was going to happen. Respond.
Correct. Yeah, we could. There's many different injects that we can put in there to make it so that our first responders are not fully aware. I mean, they know we're doing an exercise. They know when it's going to be, but only the key leadership knows all of the details of the exercise. And so we may add things during the exercise that they weren't necessarily expecting. And then we have to see how they adapt to that.
Wow. Now, all right. So I guess my next question here, which is, what is the scenario this year? Are we able to share that?
Yeah, no, I don't think that that's necessarily a secret. That was written by Robert over here, so because it's his airport. So,
Wow.
So yeah, he's the one that kind of put the key on what we're looking at for the event. So if you want to share that,
And ultimately, what we're looking for is just running a scenario where our airlines are simulated as an aircraft accident. The minimum amount of casualties or passengers we have to have on the aircraft is 20. So that's also a minimum that we have spelled out.
And so they know at least 20. But mm-hmm. That's common knowledge to them anyhow.
It could be.
Because they know, well, if the plane's going to fly, it's got to have 20 people. So I know I've at least got 20.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the max?
Well, in this case, you know, we have a CRJ-200, so it can have 50 passengers along with three crew. And however else we want to get creative with the scenario and what happens with that aircraft, we could even potentially add in more.
Wow. Now, which entities are going to be involved this year?
So we have the fire departments, multiple fire departments. Part of the reason that we're doing it on a weekend is so that we can have our volunteer fire departments assist in this. The one that we had 3 years ago was during the weekday, so it was more difficult to have our volunteer firemen come in and do that. So this year is on a Saturday. And so we have the fire departments, the volunteer fire departments, we have the police department, sheriff department, the ambulance company, the hospital, the coroner's office, TSA, of course, the airport and the airport fire department. And then, of course, the airline also is involved in the planning process. So, oh, and the VA also.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I guess the VA, like extra space or rooms for folks? Or?
Well, they help with the planning, but their bus is going to be the aircraft. So,
oh, I was going to ask, yes. What are we going to use as a fuselage there?
Yes. So the VA has a large passenger transport bus, and so they were kind enough to allow us to use that up at the airport as our aircraft, our pretend aircraft.
Jesse, when you're laying this out, And you've got, and we're going to actually talk about some volunteers because you still need some folks, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we'll touch on that, folks. But when you've got your casualties, how real do we get here? Do you just walk by and say, okay, Floyd, here's your casualty card. It's going to list all the injuries that you've got, and I really want you to play this up. Or do we go and maybe a step beyond that and do some kind of triage looking stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have moulage is what it's called. And so it's just makeup that we put on these individuals to make them look like they're actually injured, depending on the severity of those injuries. And there's prosthetics that are a part of that makeup kit. And so we can make it look like you have open wounds or you have protruding bones or there's a whole host of things. And part of the exercise is having a range of people from walking wounded all the way up to deceased individuals, and being able to identify them and figure out, as the paramedics do, they put them in categories of green, yellow, and red, and then black being deceased. And then that's how they determine who needs to be transported first and who can be maybe treated on scene and make a priority list. Oh, I've also forgot to mention, we have two life flight aircraft coming in also to assist with the exercise.
Oh, wow. So this is, I mean, we're going to have individuals life flighted out of here.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Because they've got to be, they've got to be evaluated as well on their performance and response time.
Correct. Yeah, the life flight also has to be part of exercises. So in emergency management, we're required to do 5 exercises in total a year, and at minimum. And so that's part of my requirements as an emergency manager. But there's many agencies that have similar expectations that they participate in or evaluate themselves annually or multiple times a year. I know the hospital, for example, the VA, they also have to do exercises annually.
And do they kind of fit some of theirs into this scenario where they, you know, hey, you need to get evaluated, you're going to join in?
Yeah, so I take a lot of extensive classes on how to write and design exercises. It's taken a lot of training to get to the point that I'm at. And so we take advantage of each other, to be honest.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to spend the time and the energy to put something like this together, we might as well all work together and share the credit for that exercise for the year.
And so we've got our big overall evaluation going on, but at the same time, each department's kind of doing their own thing.
Correct.
Evaluating law enforcement, EMTs, life flight, firefighters, all kinds of stuff happening there. Now, if we were to look at, I guess, overall goal, what are we hoping for as like final end result? Are there standards maybe set by the FAA or someone else that we have to meet?
Robert could talk to that, because that's really, it's an airport exercise. So it's really to assist the airport keep their certification.
And I think overall what we're looking for is just any weaknesses, just overall countywide, that we could, identify and work on and improve. On the airport side, one of the biggest challenges we always have is communications. You know, once you bring in additional agencies along with the communications just with the users on the airport, once you have one of these events, that's one of the areas we really focus on, that in site security as the airport's kind of getting opened up to bring in agencies, just making sure that we've got that scene secure.
That's incredible, because I didn't even think about that. But there are going to be people in an emergency like that who want to gawk, want to get some pictures or something. And so they may try to sneak up onto an airport runway or something and actually end up either becoming a casualty themselves or putting somebody else at risk.
Yeah, for sure. And with family and friends response, you know, for every passenger, you can expect at least 5 to 10 people showing up to the airport to see if, you know, their family member was involved in this. So, you know, with a 50 passenger jet, you could expect 500 people rushing up to the airport. So, maintaining that site security is also key.
And that's, I think, parts of these evaluations that, even, you know, and I've not been a part of, but I've covered one of these. I got to go spend all day with Johnson County once when they were doing the same kind of scenario. And I didn't even think about it, but press could be, that's an issue, because we're going to show up at your front door saying, Jesse, what's going on? We need information for the public. You have scenarios built for that.
Yeah, we build that into our plans. And so really the exercise is testing our plans and then making changes or adjustments to our plans as we really need based on the evaluation that we do during the exercises. And so absolutely the public and the media, and then dealing with all of the key stakeholders, and then even elected officials and things like that, that are not first responders, but need to know what's going on so that they can inform their constituents, is also very important. And so just managing all the complexities of that with the very limited resources we have in Sheridan, there is only one of me, and most everybody else would be managing and dealing with the disaster itself. And yeah. So trying to deal with that complexity, you know, I don't want to pull a fire chief or a, you know, the police chief or the sheriff off of the scene to answer questions to the public when they're dealing with the actual emergency that's taking place. And so trying to figure out how to coordinate all of that is definitely a complexity. And then, family reunification is another significant thing, is providing that information directly to the families or the loved ones during these incidents is also another challenge if you think about it, because you don't want them to find out through Facebook or some other rumor that a loved one was on it or was injured or was killed or any of those kind of things that could happen. How do we get that information to them directly and first without compromising the scene itself? It's very complex.
That's got to be one of the toughest parts of an emergency like that. Rumor control.
Yes, you know, that is huge.
Trying to get to keep that demon in the box before it jumps out. Because for some reason, you know, what do they say? Winston Churchill said a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has the opportunity to put its pants on.
True. Absolutely.
That's a quote.
And it's even faster now. They didn't have Facebook back then.
Exactly. And now it's even quicker. It's all the way around the world twice before the truth even know what's going on. I got to take a quick commercial break, but before I do so, just a quick question. Proper complete execution procedure of this, is there a start, a middle, an end, and like an AAR, an after action review?
Yeah, we have all of those things built in. We have a lot of prep that takes place. We also then have the exercise itself, and then after lunch, then we do a review with the individuals that were all involved, everybody from the volunteers all the way through the key players. We look at those evaluations and the professional evaluations, and then I'll conduct an after action review and report that will go to the airport and the other key stakeholders to look for gaps in our training or in our plans, and then hopefully make changes to those so that we can improve.
Fill the holes.
That's the goal of these, so that if or when this happens, then hopefully we're as prepared as we possibly can. We can't be prepared for every scenario, but we try our best.
And I think a lot of people kind of look at exercises like this in a very American window, you know, where it's, I've got to win. I got to get a 100%. But that's actually not the goal. The goal is to find any weaknesses that we may have and just adjust for that.
Correct. And if we sell through this and we have no problems whatsoever, that means I didn't write the exercise very well, because there's not much of a challenge to the individuals that are doing it. And that's kind of the goal, is to push the limit as much as we can so we can see where those breaking points are so that we identify them before the event happens.
PLDC taught me one thing, my friend. It's that there is always room for improvement.
Absolutely. Always.
All right, on that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Airport and Emergency Management right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse, Sun 930 KROE, at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
The largest RV store in Wyoming has a new location right here in Sheridan. Join us for Midway Onward RV's grand opening, June 5th through 7th, to save big on campers, motorhomes, and boats. That's right. Our manufacturers are offering enormous rebates for our grand opening only. Stop in to see what Sheridan's only RV and boat dealer has to offer. With food, fun, and prizes, we have something for everyone. That's Midway Auto and RV, 1808 Coffeen Avenue, Sheridan, Wyoming, June 5th through 7th.
This is the captain with Captain Clean. Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
The UCross Foundation invites you to celebrate their fourth annual Founders Day, Saturday, May 31st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Guests will enjoy open artist studio tours, house-made pizza for purchase, performances by the Wyoming Symphony Orchestra, and the opening of Luminous Forms, a new exhibition at the UCross Art Gallery, as well as the debut of Confluences, an immersive sound installation on the UCross grounds. To RSVP for this free event, please visit ucross.org.
Are you interested in the field of broadcasting or communications? The Wyoming Association of Broadcasters is offering scholarships to help you pursue your education. You must be a full-time student at a Wyoming Community College or the University of Wyoming with a GPA of at least 2.5. We're looking for students that exhibit superior potential in studies or activities related to a career in broadcasting. Stop by Sheridan Media or go to wyomingbroadcasting.org for an application form. The deadline to apply is June 15th.
Good morning. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Ludekaus, County Airport Manager Robert Gill. This is Public Pulse, brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. Now, we're discussing a very large-scale exercise that's going to go on. There are some other things that I would like to touch on with both Robert and Jesse, but before we get there, I had a couple follow-up questions when it comes to this operation, and I did say that Jesse's looking for volunteers. You have an opportunity to be a part of this exercise. Got to go in there, take it as serious as possible, and really just kind of fill the role, right, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm looking for a few more additional volunteers to play as victims in this exercise. I've got quite a few already, but I just could use a couple more. And so that would just require, we haven't talked about the date. The date's on June 7th is when this exercise is, so that's next Saturday. And that would require you to be available at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you would probably be, we would be done before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it would require that entire time. And if that's something you're interested in, contact or email my office, and then I can get you signed up to do that. We could, like I said, we are looking for people that are probably 16 and older. We really want to make sure that they're more mature, because they do have to sit out on an active runway for a couple of hours while the first responders do what the first responders do. So if that's something you're interested in, you can reach out to me. I'm also in need of individuals that would like to do the moulage, which is basically a makeup artist. So if that's something that you are interested in, you need to contact my office today. That class for that training is tomorrow, and it's in Gillette, and you'd have to be in Gillette at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And it goes from 9 to 2 or 3. And so if that's something you're interested in, and you could help me with applying the makeup and doing the makeup part of this, or that's something you're interested in, please contact my office. I'll get you signed up for that class. It's, of course, free. We just need to have some training in how to apply those prosthetics and that makeup. So,
because they're pretty detailed. I mean, they're actually designed to look as real as possible, because when an EMT comes up, he's being evaluated or she's being evaluated on how they identify the injury.
Yes.
So it's got to look as real as possible. So I can understand there's got to be a class that kind of goes with that.
Correct.
Now, as you said, a lot of the quote unquote, the casualties that are going to be doing this, a lot of sitting around.
Absolutely, yeah. So the reason why first 7 o'clock in the morning is because you have to get that makeup on. That takes a couple of hours. Then we have to get you up at the airport. We have to get you staged. The exercise will start at 10 a.m. on the 7th, and it will run until about noon. So the public can expect a lot of activity during that time up at the airport on that Saturday. Again, nothing to be alarmed about. It's just an exercise and training. So that you'll see that up there. Give my office number real quick, and that's 675-2569. Again, 675-2569, and you can find it if you search Sheridan County Emergency Management. It has all my contact information, email, if you're interested in either of those volunteer assignments.
So if you want to do the makeup, folks, Jesse's got to be contacted today because the class is happening tomorrow. So you can use your talent to help actually kind of apply some makeup, but with a pretty heavy sense of realism. So just let him know you want to do this. Make it to that class. And put your talents toward helping Sheridan County Emergency Management and the airport to get this done. How many would you need? As many as possible? Or
for the moulage part?
Yeah.
You know, just a handful. So if I get, you know, 4 or 5, I'd be very happy with that to get up there and trained. And so those individuals would need to be also available next Saturday. And that would be... just from, you know, maybe 6:30 or 7 in the morning until the makeup's applied, so 9 or 9:30. So it'd be a much shorter time on Saturday, the 7th.
And when it comes to the sirens and everything that's going to be going on June 7th, once again, this operation is going to be taking place. It's not a real operation. As you see, because they've got to basically... play it as real as possible from the airport to the hospital, correct?
No. So we're going to stage those individuals nearby the airport, the firemen and stuff like that. So they'll only be responding from nearby and going there. We don't want them driving through the city with lights and sirens or anything else. That's not going to happen. So that's part of the planning process as we stagger them. So you'll only see lights and sirens and that kind of stuff up at the airport. You're not going to, if you see lights and sirens that are taking place around town and stuff like that, that's a real emergency.
That's a real one.
Yes. It's just at the airport you're going to see any lights or sirens or anything.
Now, individuals might get a little curious. They might find themselves up at the airport. If somebody really did want to kind of observe this, do you have a staging area for people like that?
Yeah, it would be outside the gates. And then, you can contact my office if that's something that you might be interested in being a part of, for sure.
Probably not going to see very much, but... sirens draw crowds, lights draw crowds.
Correct.
So, yeah. might want to go see what's going on. I've only got a couple of minutes left with you. Robert, just real quick, what is Wings and Wheels?
Wings and Wheels is an event that the Sheridan Pilots Association has been hosting the last number of years. Pilots Association is a nonprofit organization of our local pilots. And they've been... hosting a couple of different events throughout the year. Wings and Wheels is one of their first ones. That is a fundraiser that they hold for a scholarship program for aspiring pilots or aircraft mechanics. It is a ticketed event. They do sell the tickets, and unfortunately, it's sold out this year.
Oh, okay.
But that's also June 7th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. However, they do have a surprise for everybody that attends, and the public should be able to see as well. About 9:15, if you keep your eyes up towards the airport, you might see a little bit of a show. So that's, like I said, that's on June 7th. They are also hosting another airport open house with air show on August 23rd. Gates will open up at 8 o'clock. That's free to the public. And we will take as many people that can come up and watch and enjoy a free air show.
Fun. It's been a while since I've seen an air show. Jesse, I probably only have about 2 minutes left. Just got the signal. Sandbags.
Yeah, we still have sandbags available. Runoff's coming off pretty good. We're concerned about debris flows. So even though, you know, it just takes a little bit of debris to back up a stream. So if somebody has any... need for sandbags, we still have those available at all the sandbag locations. You can find that on my website. That's well advertised. So at the county, at the fairgrounds and at the county yard or the city yard and the county shop and Ranchester, Dayton, Story, Bighorn all have sandbag locations. They're all self-fill, so you have to bring a shovel and gloves. We have the sand and sandbags is all we have, and then you have to fill them up yourself. And again, you only want to cover the entryways where water may come into your property. You don't want to surround your property because that can actually trap water inside your property. So wow. It's important that you just keep it around those entry points into the homes.
Minute left. How's it looking? Is it kind of melting at a good rate this year?
It has been so far. I just got an update from the weather service yesterday. They are a bit concerned because we still have quite a bit of snow at the higher elevations, and that snow is very ripe for runoff. And we're going to have high temperatures in the next few days, relatively speaking, up on the mountain. So that could increase flow. So we will see an increase in the creeks. So we're not through everything yet. We're still having quite a bit of runoff, and especially if there's any thunderstorm that develops up on the mountain and then you're starting to get rain on snow, that's still a possibility, which could cause some minor flooding. So
preparation is key, folks. If you've got a spot that's traditionally flooded, I would just go out, grab yourself some sandbags, put them down there, we're in those key locations, and be ready just in case. Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right, Jesse?
Correct. Yep.
All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you both so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. Sounds like this is going to be a good evaluation.
It'll be fun. If anything, this is a great, fun opportunity for our volunteers. So,
absolutely. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank, member FDIC.
We've all heard that when a cowboy comes back to life as a horse, it's called reincarnation. Well, you can't count on that when it comes to your 4x4s or side-by-side. If you let them sit there and expire, you probably are not going to get it back to life on your own. That said, all you have to do is call Hando Service Center and Joe will come out and get your machine. He'll reincarnate it and bring it back running like new. Easy peasy, non-greasy. Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive or HandoServiceCenter.com.
It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Hot Buys on SheridanMedia.com. Right now, you can head over there and find deals for up to 50% off of retail value. This week, we have dining gift certificates, service gift certificates, merchandising gift certificates, and a bunch more. You can find whatever it is you're looking for, all from local Sheridan retailers, and they all start at half off of retail value. Head over right now to SheridanMedia.com and click on the Hot Buys button and place your bids. Hurry, though, bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m.
Hi, this is Brad at Primerate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
Join me for Rich on Tech every Saturday
on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO Sheridan.